Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
My best friend, and I love you, and I love you, yes I do. There is no other one who can take your place.
33 after the hour on the Good Day program. I'm Doug Steffen with my friends Victoria Keelan. Why do I have that mental block there? It's probably going to take me a while to work this out. So my friends Victoria and Kara are here. How's that for putting
that
it?
That works.
You can be upset with me or not. It's okay. One way or another, it'll all come out in the wash. As will the fate of the $20 bill. This is one of these back and forth things, and you wonder how much controversy can you create over something as simple as whose picture is on a $20 bill. Here's a reporter named Juliana Goldman, who was talking with somebody about the surprising reasons Alexander Hamilton will be staying on the 20.
Last June, when Treasury Secretary Jack Lew announced a woman would be joining Alexander Hamilton on the newly redesigned $10 bill, he couldn't have predicted a Broadway musical would complicate his plans. The smashing success of Hamilton brought newfound fans of the founding father rallying around the first Treasury Secretary turned pop icon. And now, Lew is expected to announce Hamilton will remain on the front of the $10 note, and a scene of women throughout history will be added to the back.
Alexander Hamilton is one of my heroes. He's not leaving our money.
But that's not all. He's expected to announce a woman who will eventually be on the front of the $20 bill, replacing Andrew Jackson, what some might consider far more prestigious placement that he hinted at last month in an interview with Charlie Rose.
We're going to put a woman on the face of our currency, and this is not just about the $10 bill. This is about a whole series of bills.
It wasn't just the musical that derailed the original plan. There was also an outpouring of negative reaction on social media and input from groups like Women on 20s, which wrote an open letter to Lew last week saying, "Relegating women to the back of the bill is akin to sending them to the back of the bus. The Rosa Parks analogies are inevitable." The civil rights activist is one of many candidates for the face of the new currency. Other possibilities include the African-American abolitionist Harriet Tubman and former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt.
See, I object to this. It has nothing to do with race. Why are we finding somebody who's black? Why can't we just find who would be the most likely? And it seems that it has to be somebody who's black, and that's to counter, if I'm thinking this through correctly, tell me if I'm wrong, Alexander Hamilton being a slave trader and a slave owner. So we leave him on, even though this rap on him would seem to, I have no respect for the guy, knowing that he was, even though it was accepted, most of the early politicians in Virginia, I think George Washington may have had some slaves at one point in time or another, but most of these people had slaves.
Mm.
So you're balancing it with, you have a cur on one side, and then in order to balance it, you have somebody who's black, a black woman on the other side? Does that seem sensical or nonsensical?
I don't know. I mean, I just think if you're going to, if you ask anybody, name an influential woman from the 20th century, I think most people in the top two answers or three answers are going to say Rosa Parks. So I think, race aside, I think that she would deserve to be on any currency. But it is weird if it's on the backside of Hamilton.
It's awkward.
It's awkward. Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
Right. Southwest Airline has responded to an incident where a Muslim lady was kicked off of a plane. Her name is Hakima Abdulay, I believe is how you pronounce it, traveling to meet her family member in Seattle, connecting flight in Chicago at Midway. She was kicked off the plane there. She had asked the man in the seat next to her if he was willing to swap seats so she could be on an aisle. He agreed. But after the swap, a flight attendant approached and said that they were not allowed to move their seats. Southwest Airlines does not have an assigned seating policy. What the hell is she talking about?
Right. I've never flown Southwest, but that's my understanding as well.
You're not missing.
I've heard that.
Yeah, not missing much. So how in the world do they think they can get away with, well, I don't know that they think they can get away with it. I just find...
Well, the thing that really bugs me...
The thing that people are so clueless.
Right. And today, the thing that bugs me about this story is after this woman was removed from the plane, when they took her into the terminal, the police officer said, well, what'd she do? What's she being charged with? And the flight attendant was reportedly said to the policeman that she didn't feel comfortable with this woman on the plane. And this woman and her husband are still trying to find out what exactly did she do wrong.
She didn't do anything. She's a Muslim and she looked like a Muslim. I'm going to guess she had a burqa on. Did she?
I don't know that. I do not know what she looked like. Yeah. But yes, I mean, but that's, but this stuff is getting so out of hand.
It is.
And
this,
and when you have people like this flight attendant woman who, I don't know what her motivations were for discriminating against this person, but when you have these people in authority positions who are allowed to make these decisions, this just further perpetuates the problem.
It doesn't make it better. There are a lot of, and it partly comes from, I guess, the problem that I think we have with this is that a lot of Muslims have not done their part, according to others, in trying to stop the flow of violence that's coming from certain members of their religion. And so we have this prejudice that has developed around it, and it's not unlike, I think we were talking about this yesterday, the prejudice that was shown to Irish people when they came here, to Italians when they came here, I mean, there's been prejudice aimed at people because of the color of their skin, because of their religion, because of their size. You can find any reason not to like somebody. And
Japanese Americans in the internment camps in
California.
They were
all all before World War II. Yeah.
But that's 100 years ago. How come we're not better? Why are we not better at this point?
Why do you think we should be better? What leads you to believe that we ought to be better?
Well, I
we
believe
ought to
in,
be, but why do
I
you
believe
think,
in,
what makes
I believe
you think
in
we
progress.
Ought to?
I would like to believe in progress of a civilized society, that we can come together and as new generations are raised differently, that we actually would have a much better handle on things like this by now. It's disappointing that we don't.
You want to come here and take advantage of what we have, the best circumstances pretty much on the planet for people to live and gain. And I was talking to a guy in my Uber car last night who'd come here from Morocco 26 years ago. And I said, why'd you come? And he said, because I had 14 brothers and sisters and we couldn't all survive there. So I was the one, I was the oldest one. I was told to come to America and find a job and send money back to help the family. And that's what he did. So he's now stayed here. He's done all kinds of things, worked hard, became a citizen. Looking at him, you wouldn't, unless you listened to him speak, know where he was from, really. He's done what he was supposed to do in order to fit in. And I think that's what really needs to happen here for the people. And I don't know how you do this. I don't know. I don't think you legislate it. I just think people have to figure it out. As you look back at the history of the people who have settled in here and how they've sort of become part of the society, because we are a melting pot. Maybe we're a mosaic. I'm not sure which of the two is the proper reference. But if you want to make it work for you here, then you do your best to fit in. You assimilate. And the people, I have no use, and you've heard me many times say this, and some people think that this is not a racist comment, but I'm sick of going into places and having people that cannot speak English try to wait on me. I'm fed up with it. People who mostly speak Spanish and don't care, they don't give a damn about speaking English. And I think there's some of that, frankly, with some of the Muslim population that's moved here. I think you can find it with almost any. A lot of Russians who have moved to this country, they don't speak English. It isn't just Hispanics and it isn't just Muslims. Russians, you name it, where they come. These people come in here and become a part of society, and we have not required of them a certain set of rules that would help for them. I mean, it's in their best interest as well as ours to assimilate.
Right. And I agree on a language front. I absolutely agree with you that if you choose to live in a country where the predominant language is English, then you should be proficient in that language. I completely agree with that. If I move to France tomorrow, I'm not going to tell every
you
French
won't survive
person
in English. No, you
that
won't
they
survive.
Need. Yeah, that they need to only speak English to me. So I agree with that. But where I do draw the line is I do respect other people's, whether it's religious garb. I mean, I live in Manhattan. There are Hasidic Jews. There are from people from all walks of life. So when it comes to your clothing, I don't think that you have to wear blue jeans from the Gap.
Okay, so maybe that's the case. But you must admit that there's a difference. Hasidic Jews are all dressed in black. The women, although now that I think about it, there's an area of Los Angeles where we like to go have our brunch on Sunday morning that is basically a Hasidic Jewish area off Beverly, between Beverly and First, well, that whole area in there. So there are most of you to see on the street are Hasidic Jews with their big wide hats. The men wear the hats and the black suits and the white shirts and the ties, and the women are dressed. Actually, if you analyze it, not a whole lot different from Muslim women,
right?
Except they don't wear burqas. But if you look at the garb of a Hasidic Jewish woman, I never thought about this before, but I'm thinking of people I saw walking down the street the other day, and then thinking about the women. I saw a woman actually on the plane last night who was dressed in this garb, wearing a burqa. But that's the only difference between the Hasidic Jew and the Muslim woman was the burqa. That was it. So is that what we're put off by?
And
women wrapping up their head?
I do think that that's a huge part of it, yes. I mean, Hasidic women often wear wigs because the head covering is just it's equally as important, but they just have a different way of doing it.
Yeah, right. All right. Interesting that picking out the differences there. The death of Doris Roberts in the focus here next on Good Day at 15 before the hour.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Is your child a crybaby? Do you think they're crying too much? Well, frankly, maybe you're worrying too much about it. Here's the developmental science of it. Up to about age 12, little boys and little girls cry equally. After that, females tear up 5 times more often than men, and unfortunately, boys aren't allowed to cry anymore. But crying serves a biological function. It's a safety valve, and studies have shown that individuals who can cry heal quicker. So what's the cheap psychological trick? Little boys and little girls cry, and big boys and big girls cry too. But the real trick involves what you, the parent, does after the crying jag is over. Smart parents ask their children, "Now, what can you do to make sure the hurt doesn't come back?" It's a great way to teach problem solving to feel better. Check out my new book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Today on App Check, Square. Accept credit cards on your iPhone with this free card reader. It actually works, but the developer's customer support is non-existent. Square struck out.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Think green.
Harrison with you. No single factor for depleted firefly populations, but researchers in America and Europe cite urban sprawl and industrial pollution, which destroys insect habitats. The spread of artificial light from what they're calling McMansion subdivisions could also be a culprit, disrupting the intricate mating behavior that relies on a male winning over a female with its flashing backside that signals everything from love to danger. The endangered firefly's adult lifespan is just 1 to 3 weeks.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star is particularly remembered for one swing of the bat. Although he'd only played 54 games with the Yankees, his extra-inning home run against the Red Sox sent the Yankees to the 2003 World Series.
Vaughn hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series. score and a hero in Game 7.
So where is Aaron Boone now? The Boone family has baseball in their blood. Aaron was the third generation of his family to play in the majors. After retiring in 2010, he became an analyst for ESPN's Baseball Tonight, joining former Reds teammate Barry Larkin. And Aaron still talks about the Yankee shot heard round the world.
And I was going to take a pitch, and on my way up to the plate, I said, you know what, you're thinking too much, just get a good pitch to hit.
As he's known in Boston, Aaron Bleeping Boone. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and
nothing on. All right, here we are, 48 after the hour on Good Day. Doris Roberts had a lot of fans. She was Raymond's mother, and everybody loves Raymond. Died at the age of 90. She got 5 Emmys. She had been on stage, in the movies, on television for 64 of her 90 years. Came from St. Louis, Missouri, died in her sleep. She was pretty active. She reminds me a lot of Betty White to a point, June Lockhart, a whole group of those actresses that came out of that era who kept working well into their senior years. Betty White, I've not seen that much of her lately. Have either of you seen that much of her lately?
Yeah,
is she okay?
I think she's 94 now. And yeah, she recently wrapped that show Hot in Cleveland, which she was phenomenal on.
Right. Yep. So if those of you who don't remember what Doris Roberts sounded like, here's a clip from Everybody Loves Raymond.
You are an angry, pushy, manipulative bitch.
Oh! You're a monster! You're a creature.
Come on. I'm not the one being restrained right now.
And I'm not the one who danced topless in Atlantic City.
That was from, what was the woman's name who's got her own show now that was the wife on Everybody Loves Raymond? What's her, that actress's name? She's actually quite good. That's her.
I didn't watch that show.
Did you watch that show?
Yeah. She's on, what is my parents watch the news show all the time.
The middle something.
The middle. And I can never remember her name, but she's on everything, and I love her on everything.
She's on The Middle, that show? Yeah. Oh, okay, I know who you mean. Yep.
Yeah, we all know who you mean, we just can't remember.
Patricia Heaton.
Yes, Heaton, that's it, right.
Right?
You got one more clip, Kara, of Doris Roberts?
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes it's about a jar of fat.
How could you mention that?
I'll mention it. You went nuts over nothing.
I had every right to go nuts with you for a husband.
Don't go nuts, just go.
Their relationship always made me laugh.
Oh, my God, that was funny stuff. So the sad news, Doris Roberts passing away at the age of 90. Everybody Loves Raymond, 51 after here on Good Day.